numbers close. Use them to buoy yourself. Get them into their deals and keep them around till they fall. They'll keep your heart afloat, even as you wade through a river of soul-wrenching deals and back-alley trades. Use the dungeon and your prisoners to fuel your soul, though. This is a merciless world. Everything you've done so far is distasteful to the masses, but it isn't forcing anyone. Everyone has had a choice. Most nobility would have simply raped them all, then had them killed. Keep to what you've been doing, knowing that I approve. Just because I'm a mistress of the dark doesn't mean I don't have a heart or mercy, Leah said, then vanished. Alex let his head hang, screwing his eyes shut. Holy fucking hell, she's terrifying. And not wrong. You've been working to warm them up to your deals long before making them. Only Sylvia, Riley, and Carla got deals that went against what they wanted. And now Carla just offers to sleep with me whenever she likes. Shaking his head, Alex wasn't sure what to think of it all, other than to follow Leah's advice.
Master?
Riley asked. Her voice was soft, gentle, and near. A light touch brushed through his hair, making Alex lift his head up. Riley stood there in front of him, dressed only in a see-through nightdress that barely reached her thighs. She pulled her hair back with small pins, her body bare of any other clothing, except for her collar.
I thought maybe you wouldn't mind some company, she asked, her fingers toying with the hem of the fabric.
Alex smiled at her, and then leaned back, looking at her more carefully. I wouldn't. What did you have in mind? He asked. Riley smiled at him, then slowly got down to her knees. She unbuckled his belt leisurely, and then unfastened his pants. Unhesitatingly, she worked his pants down from his legs until she pulled them free entirely. Setting them to one side, she then ran her hands up along his inner thighs.
I don't think you've asked me to do this yet, so I thought it might be fun, Riley asked.
Without waiting for an answer, she dipped her head down and fished his half-erect self out from between his legs with her lips. Audibly slurping, Riley moved her head forward and took his length into her mouth. Turning her head from side to side, she sucked on him roughly. At the same time, her tongue writhed along the underside of his shaft. Riley then looked up at him, and Alex couldn't do anything but watch her. She moaned softly, her fingers digging into his thighs as she began to slowly, methodically, bob her head up and down. Easing back further onto his bed, Alex settled onto his elbows, staring down Riley's nightie. Smiling around his girth, Riley batted her eyes at him. Then she made a point of noisily sucking him back into her mouth. Now fully erect, he actually felt his tip touch her throat before she eased him back up and out. Doing nothing to impede or assist, Alex watched as Riley began to work her head quicker with each pass of her mouth. Her lips pressed tight to his flesh as she greedily devoured him over and over. Pulling her head back, she released his tip with a soft pop as the suction broke. Reaching up with her right hand, she began to lightly stroke him, her tongue sneaking out to lap at his tip.
Master, would you like to mount me and stain my insides? Or do you want to dirty my pretty mouth? She asked innocently, her words clearly intentional.
Her lips curled around his head, sucking on him gently, as her tongue speared into the tip, over and over. Shit. What? What do you want, Juan? Alex asked, not able to think quite clearly. Riley smiled beautifully, releasing him entirely.
Fill me up, master. Make me yours all over again, Riley said.
She gave him another lick, then let go of his shaft. Not waiting, Riley lay down in his bed, adjusting her nightie, and spread her legs wide apart for him.
Come, Master, show me that I'm one, Riley said, holding her hands out to him.
Alex grinned at her. Rolling over, he settled down atop her gently, his knees coming up under her thighs. Not wanting to wait, he pushed himself into her, straight to the hilt. Riley's arms tightened up around his shoulders and pulled his head down to her throat. Her lips latched to his ear, and she moaned into it directly, her knees raising up as high as she could take them.
"Yes, Master, give me everything," she murmured.
Alex pressed his wrists to her hips, and then started to pump himself in and out of her. He had only need of her, desire to take her completely. He went from entering her to pummeling her backside with his crotch, as if trying to push all the way through her. Riley started to call out softly against his ear with each thrust. Her collar tinkled and jingled as he tried to split her in half. Unable to resist himself, Alex sank his teeth into her pale throat, just above her collar.
"Yes, Master, mark me up as yours in every way," Riley said, her teeth biting at his ear in return.
Before he could act on the impulse to turn her neck into a purple bite mark, he hit his climax and pressed hard into Riley, as if he wanted to bury her in the bed, as he buried his seed in her. Riley moaned deeply into his ear, her hands rubbing at his back encouragingly.
"Yes, Master, that's it," she said,
kissing his jaw and neck lightly. Alex kept thrusting into her as he climaxed. His hands curled into her hips and pushed her down as he thrust upward into her several more times. Then Alex felt everything come to a stop as he finished. There wasn't anything left in him, and he sank into Riley.
"That's it, Master. Let one take care of you," Riley said, her fingers stroking and petting his back.
Somehow his head ended up nestled on her shoulder, his face against her neck. Riley's fingers carded through his hair and smoothed it with his part.
"Rest," she said, nuzzling his ear.
Alex fell asleep a minute later. Chapter 34. Alex slowly came to. It took him a moment to remember where he was. Turning his head to one side, he found Riley snuggled up close to him, but not sleeping on him. She'd somehow wrangled him off herself into the bed properly and curled up beside him. Looking back to the interior ceiling of his canopied bed, Alex thought about what Leah had told him last night. He needed to process deals, or she'd process him. It was that simple. "We can do that, though. It's just a matter of not getting involved, long-term, with those I make deals with. If I can separate from them after the fact and keep them at a distance, this can work. Even Leah said to keep the numbers close by for my sanity. And Anna will support me. She understands. Perhaps even better than I do. She already started to maneuver things for me. She filled my dungeon with women who would satisfy what I need." Riley let out a loud snore. Then she farted in her sleep. Alex blinked in surprise. After a moment, he started to laugh. He tried to stop, desperately so, but he couldn't contain it. It was so normal. Down to earth, in comparison to his thoughts of bartering and soul-dealing his way through a dungeon of women. Leah was right. Keep his numbers close. Riley's eyes slowly opened, and she smiled at him shyly.
"What's so funny?" she asked, sounding quite sleepy.
"Nothing at all. I'm sorry for waking you. I order you to go back to bed, one, and sleep soundly. I'm going to go make a deal or two and get into the swing of things. I promise to wake you before I leave anywhere, all right? Riley nodded her head a little, then rubbed at her nose.
You sure, Master?
I'm sure. Sleep, Alex said, rolling out of the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Riley closed her eyes and clearly fell right back to sleep. Smiling to himself, Alex flicked the covers over her more firmly and stepped out of the canopy. Taking a moment to look around, he saw it was clearly still a few hours before dawn. He could get some work done if he was quick. Moving to the section of the pavilion Nanny and Carla slept in, he crept inside. Easing up alongside Nanny's bed, he reached in to pat her shoulder, only to have her flinch and a hand shoot out to wrap around his throat and pull him in close to the bed. He was suddenly face to face with her, her eyes wide, and not awake at all.
Five, it's me. It's okay. I wanted to talk to you privately, Alex whispered, trying to keep his voice as soft as possible.
Her fingers didn't tighten around his neck, and he could actually see the point where her brain switched from groggy to awake. Slowly, her hand released him as she blinked rapidly.
What?
She asked, her voice thick with sleep.
Come see me in the study. Be quiet and don't wake anyone up, Alex whispered.
Standing up, he snuck back out of the room as quietly as he could. Not waiting for Nanny, Alex took a seat on the couch, rubbing his hands against his knees, trying not to think about what he was about to do. Nanny entered his study. For the first time in his memory, she wasn't in her armor, wasn't holding a weapon, and didn't have one belted at her waist. She was dressed in a long tunic that reached to her knees, and nothing else.
What is it? She asked, coming over and sitting down in a chair facing him. Did something happen?
No. I wanted to talk to you about, well, you.
Nanny's face clouded up, her mouth tightening.
That's it, then? She asked. All tired of pretending now.
Pretending? Alex asked. He didn't quite understand what she meant.
Pretending. Pretending that you're comfortable around me, that you want me here, that you don't look at me and wonder if I'll kill you in the night,
Nanny said, her voice slowly rising. Five? Alex said, interrupting her when she took a deep breath. Nanny paused, her mouth open, her body tense. Her hands were at her sides, tightly clenched. She was also giving him a rather clear view of her rather firm and muscular thighs.
What?
She asked, her voice tight.
First off, you have some impressive legs, Alex said, pointing at the indicated body parts.
Nanny's knees slammed together and she pulled down on her tunic.
Second, wow, you fill out that tunic way more than I thought you would. Do you bind your chest or something? You're a bit bigger than two, aren't you? Probably a lot closer to three than I realized.
Nanny's face was bright red now. Either in rage or embarrassment, Alex couldn't tell. Her growl was audible.
Third, I need to arrange a deal with you, to permanently tie you to me. I'll have you swear to all the same things the others have. One night in my bed a week, one night on your knees a week, to call me master, to wear a collar, a nice one, with your name tag on it. Already have it ready for you. It's quite lovely. And your name is Five. To respond to and be called Five.
You'll be granted everything they're entitled to. You'll all be equal to each other, Alex said, holding his hands apart.
I'll need you to swear all that on your life and your soul, on your existing oath. If not, I'll have to treat you as if you weren't a number.
Nanny looked a bit like a landed fish, her mouth opening and closing several times.
You want me to be the same as the others, she said finally.
That's right. No different than one, two, or three.
You want me in your bed, would force me into your bed, force me to service you, Nanny said.
Indeed. You can, of course, refuse, as the deal always goes.
Well, what'll it be, Five? I'll have your collar, uniform, and tag ready today if you agree. Then you'll be truly bound to me till the day you die.
Nanny kept one hand pressed to her chest, her other hand still holding her tunic. She looked angry, angry and confused. Leah had warned him she was close to simply agreeing because she wanted it. He wasn't expecting to get much from her accepting the deal. This was just to get everyone on the same playing field.
"I accept," Nanny said after a long pause. "Master."
"What's it look like, Max?" Alex asked, unable to see much of the keep through the village in front of them.
"Much the same," Max said with a loud sigh. "They're not budging from their siege, no matter how much we pepper them with arrows and javelins. Hell, we've been throwing rocks since we ran out of everything else. Ballistas don't have much ammunition left, either. They just refuse to engage us."
Alex sighed and ran a hand across his face.
"Dan and Drew have been making charges against their flanks. They're just piling up bodies now, so we can't run them down," Max said, his tone clear with exasperation. "And it isn't as if they'll survive the siege, either. They're running low on food."
"They are?" Alex asked.
"Drew smashed a support column that was trying to get through."
"Food. All food." Max threw an arm back towards their own support cache, far to the rear and guarded.
"We just piled it up with our stuff. He'll end up capturing the keep, only to run out of food. They'll run us down until they drain the resources, or they get reinforcements."
Alex couldn't help but agree with that assessment. In either situation, the outcome wasn't going to be good. "And to top all that off, if I'm stuck here, I won't be making deals. If I don't make deals and get Leah power, I might as well just open up my own throat."
"Damn me for a fool."
She was right. Without Mary, I would have been strapped for power to fill the crystal, let alone the pillar.
"Sire, enemy troops have moved into the village," a soldier reported, coming up to them at a run.
"The village?" Max asked.
"Yes, sir. It looks like they're foraging."
Alex shook his head once, then threw his hands up. "Send in some men-at-arms. Discourage the enemy and kill as many as you can. In fact, have some light foot loop around to cut off their retreat. Let's take out as many as we can," Alex said.
"Sire,"
Max said, saluted, then moved away. Grumbling, Alex ran a hand through his hair.
"Problem, master?" Nanny asked, looming over his shoulder.
"Nothing you don't already know, Five. Just our dear friend over there being stubborn and stupid. He's going to go down as hard as possible and take everything he can with him. If he manages to somehow get reinforcements, we'll be forced to withdraw until I can buy more troops." Then Alex shook his head. "No, I'll be honest with myself. If that happened, we'd retreat and give up on it for now. The cost would be too much to support. This is already starting to drain our finances, and it will be a while before the economy of Ridge stabilizes."
"Sounds like we should just run in and smash them up now, then, up against the wall," Nanny said.
Alex nodded at that, then froze. It wasn't a bad answer. It was a horrible tactic, and it'd get a lot of people killed, but realistically, it was a valid answer, one that could work.
"Good thought, Five. Very good thought," Alex murmured.
Acting on the possibility, he moved over to Dave, who was speaking with Dan.
"Dave," Alex said, getting the other man's attention.
"Sire?"
"I need you to put a plan together on how we can assault them against that wall. Maybe set their position on fire and then charge in after it dies down," Alex said. "I don't have any solid ideas, but I need to be able to crack their defense if we have to. We can't let them take the keep, or we'll be trapped here for far too long. If we want to win without the risk of him getting reinforced, this'd be it."
Dave frowned at him, but slowly nodded his head.
"All right, I'll get to work on it. But from what I can see, we'll have to commit to that probably by tomorrow. They assembled a massive number of ladders. Max is trying to confirm numbers, but my gut tells me they'll hit the walls tomorrow. might be our best chance to attack as they're trying to scale them.
Alex grunted at the news.
Right. Okay. Sounds like a plan. Put it together and get it ready.
Thank you, Dave, Alex said, turning and leaving the man to work his plan.
Sire, Dan said, catching up with him.
Hmm?
I have a problem, and I think you'll need to intervene.
What is it?
We ended up clearing some of the nearby buildings, mostly for storage and caches.
Uh-huh.
One of them was the prison. We've got about 7 prisoners in there. They were all scheduled for execution, but the sheriff and the bailiff were both killed by the enemy when they passed through. They left everyone in their cells, though, Dan said.
Huh. All right. And you need me to weigh out their justice?
Yes, sire. At least to enforce their execution and have it carried out.
Alex rubbed at his neck, feeling the scruff growing in. Need to shave. Starting to get stubbly.
Wait. They're already destined to die, right? We can use this, I think.
Take me to them and clear the prison of everyone else. I'll take my numbers, and that's it, Alex said, making a decision.
Dan nodded his head and then gestured down a road off to the side. This way then, sire, he said.
Alex glanced over his shoulder. Carla and Nanny were there. Valeria and Riley weren't.
Probably working on something else. I'll be fine with these two. Firming up on his choice, Alex fell in behind Dan and walked at his pace.
Anything else I need to know about them?
Nothing else to tell, really. They were all sentenced just before everything happened. The paperwork was all right there on the desk. They were all to be hanged in a week and thrown in a ditch.
Lovely. And what did they do to deserve such a fate?
Rape and murder for most of them, or so the charges listed on the papers claim. Nothing lost if they get hanged, Dan said with a shrug of his shoulders.
Grinning, Alex turned and looked back at Nanny, who was staring at him.
I don't know. I find that everyone has a purpose, Alex said.
Nanny gave him a crooked grin, then gestured at him to pay attention to the road.
Sure about that one, sire. I'll have to take your word for it.
Dan shoved a door open in a squat, low, square building. Inside, my lord. Down the steps, and they're all in there. I'll watch the door for you and make sure you're alone. No one should be in there, but you could probably let your guards go first.
Here's the key, Dan said, holding out a heavy metallic key to him.
Alex stepped to one side without even needing to be told. Carla took his security seriously and would brain him if he tried to do something stupid, or just dress him down in public. Again. Pulling her mace from the sheath, Carla moved forward into the building. Nanny followed her in, stopping to point a finger at Alex's chest.
Stay here, master, or I'll break your dick off later, she threatened.
Yes, dear.
Nanny poked him in the chest and then went inside. Dan looked at him curiously, to which Alex shrugged.
It's easier if you don't piss off the women you share a bed with, Alex explained.
Making an oh face, Dan nodded.
Clear,
Carla shouted from inside. Nodding to Dan, Alex went into the building, then straight down the stairs to the cells below. There was very little light down there, to the point that Alex wasn't even sure there was anyone in the cells themselves. Moving to the first one, he peered inside and saw a dirty, scruffy man inside. He was perfect for Alex's needs. Looking around, he found a number of men all in the same state.
All right, Alex said loudly, getting their attention. I've come to make you an offer. One I think you'll find suitable, Alex said.
He paused to walk down the aisle and make sure everyone was listening. I'm going to free you, all of you, but you need to do something for me.
What's that? Fight for you? Fuck that, said one man.
Nothing so simple. Nothing so easy. In fact, my price is simple, but first, let's establish what's going on here. Alex stopped in the middle of the room.
You've all been sentenced to death. Your execution is to be carried out. I have the power to rescind it. It's within my rights. But first, I need an oath from all of you. Of secrecy, privacy, and that you'll not betray anything we discuss to anyone else.
It'll be on Leah's name as well, for your lives and your souls. If you can't swear even to that, you might as well just remain silent throughout. I'll have you hanged at the appointed time, then toss you into a latrine ditch.
Everyone started talking at the same time, working to swear to what he'd just told them to, he assumed.
I accept your oaths exactly as I stated them to be, Alex said. He felt seven oaths settle into place.
That's done, then.
How many are there, too? Alex asked quietly.
Seven.
Next, Alex said, raising his voice again, I'll have you all swear your souls to Leah as the price for your freedom. Then, on top of that, you'll swear to never murder or rape again. Do that, and I'll set you free right now. Minus your souls.
They all started to either argue with him or swear the oath immediately. Alex couldn't tell which way any one person was going, but he knew he had a few fish on the hook. And with any luck, that'll appease Leah and fill some of the pillar. Maybe enough to play out this clusterfuck of a war. Never again. Never again will I leave home without that pillar overflowing with energy.
You, Alex said, pointing to the man in the closest cell, swear your soul to Leah. Then swear on pain of death that you'll neither murder or rape going forward. Or stay here and receive your punishment as it was intended.
The man nodded eagerly.
I swear my soul to Leah. Swear it all. Swear I'll not do murder or rape. Honest, I swear it. Let me out? Asked the man.
Alex smiled darkly. And how much of ourselves did we sign away with our own bargain? In the end, I'll just end up being sent to Leah's hell, won't I? It's not as if I changed anything. But at least for now, I'm alive.
Stepping to the cell door, Alex opened it and flung it wide, giving the prisoner inside a very similar reprieve to the one Alex himself operated on.
Short as it may be.
Chapter 35. Shaking his head, Alex couldn't see any other solution. The enemy was well set and had put together a decent line of barriers that gave them what they needed. The enemy simply refused to budge. No amount of goading, attacks, or trickery was going to get them to give up. Voluntarily, at least. On top of that, apparently the enemy's supplies, dwindling faster, only served to spur them on. Ladders upon ladders were being fashioned. Alex couldn't even imagine where they were getting the wood for it anymore. His soldiers in the keep were firing into the enemy ranks constantly, dropping rocks, boiling water and oil, anything. While they managed to kill enemies, it failed to get them to do anything other than work faster. The attacks didn't stop the enemy at all. They were entrenched below the walls and wouldn't be kicked free. Like a leech stuck on tight. So deep we're going to need a cigarette or a match to get it out. Alex had only one option, and he didn't want to employ it. Go in and break them off the wall, by massing his soldiers and mounting an assault. It'd be the worst possible outcome for his people, as they were still outnumbered almost 2-1. There was no way they'd be able to walk out the other side without taking significant losses. Losses he really couldn't afford right now.
Sire, I can't see this going any other way at this point, Dave said quietly. He was only saying what everyone else was thinking, so Alex couldn't fault the man.
Looking to his commanders, Alex watched as Dan, Drew, and Max all nodded their heads glumly. Looking back towards the walls, Alex wished he had another answer. All right, I suppose that's what we do. They'll probably start putting those ladders up in an hour or two. They haven't made another one in a while, and they look more like they're trying to quietly form into climbing squads, Alex said. Looking from one side of the assault to the other, Alex was at least thankful they were only focusing their climb on one half of the keep. At the other half,
They were just keeping the soldiers fenced in. He just doesn't have enough troops or time. One could argue spreading himself out would weaken the defenders, but it would also isolate his own soldiers once they made it to the top. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. Making his choice, Alex pointed to the far-right flank of the enemy mass, where their troop distribution narrowed rapidly to a minimal number. Let's strike the flank, and only the flank. Limit our entry. Either they'll break from the siege to engage, at which point we can draw back, or they ignore us, and we get a better troop-to-troop ratio. If we can clear to the wall, we can start attacking from two fronts. The other half of our force can start sweeping around in the other direction and clean up the skeleton forces they have there to keep our people hemmed in. It was as good a plan as he could come up with. Questions? Alex asked. His commanders shook their heads. Go then. Standard deployment and tactics. Cavalry on hit and run, ranged on firing into their masses, mixed foot companies. Keep the conscripts and a little bit of heavy foot to stiffen them up as a reserve to flank if we need them. They'll be useless in a slugfest anyways and just get killed. With a singular salute, his commanders left on their business.
For what it is, Master, I can't think of how else to do it, Carla said.
Or me. Nasty there is right, Nanny said. This is just a shit show, Master.
I can't exactly disagree, Alex said. But it's the one we made in the end. So this is the price we get to pay. Unfortunately, our front lines will get to take the biggest bite of this shit sandwich.
That's how it usually goes, Valeria said. Though in this case,
Alex and everyone around him all looked to the sudden roaring fire that surged up into the sky from a building in the village.
What in the hells? Alex asked.
The fire jumped to another building and looked like it was rapidly spreading. Before anyone even gave the order, Alex watched his soldiers immediately start doing what they could. Quite a few went immediately inside to start pulling out citizens. Another chunk worked to do what they could to put out the fire, making bucket brigades to the local wells spread throughout the streets.
I don't... Alex shook his head, not even sure what had just happened.
Buildings didn't go up in flame like that without accelerant.
Sire!
Dan came riding up to him, his mount throwing up dirt as he came to a sudden stop. Some of the enemy soldiers just put fire to the town. We're working to beat it back. We're not sure how bad it'll be, though. They somehow managed to soak a number of buildings in something that burns with just a spark, Dan explained.
Alex placed a hand to his head, trying to think through the situation.
And we're using soldiers to put it out, Alex said.
Yes, sire. There isn't... That is,
Dan said. Then he winced, looking to one side.
I see. Yes, we are.
And if we pull out now, the citizens will hate us and blame us. And if we don't, we lose the manpower we desperately need for the walls.
Sire, came a shout.
Dave came running up to Alex, panting.
Yes, I know. The fire, Alex said bitterly.
No, sire. The ladders are going up, Dave said.
Looking up, Alex saw the ladders were indeed being pushed up to the wall now. His soldiers in the keep were knocking them down, hacking at them, or trying to set them on fire as quick as they went up.
Damn, Alex said.
He had to think quickly and come up with something workable. The less tenable position was losing the fight for the keep.
Send everyone up from the camps. Blacksmiths, teamsters, leather workers, prostitutes, I don't care. Send them up to take the place of our men fighting the fire. At the same time, carry out with the attack.
We need to go now, or we lose the window, Alex said.
Split it in two. Dan, you work the replacements on the bucket brigade. Dave, the wall.
Alex flicked his reins and got his horse moving. He needed to get ahead of this and closer to the wall. In a bit, the fire and smoke would probably obscure his ability to see. Ranging out west, he raced down the street.
Master, what are you doing? Carla called, keeping abreast of him.
With a quick look over his shoulder, Alex saw Nanny and Valeria. Riley wisely hadn't tried to follow.
Need to be able to see what's going on,
If we don't get out past this, it's all going to be smoke soon enough. East of here is the best place to be right now, Alex said.
Guiding his horse along the dirt roads, he stopped only when he was able to turn north past the last fence. Out ahead of him, he could see his soldiers already tangling with enemy forces. For a brief moment, he watched his soldiers professionally draw back, seeing if they could somehow coax the enemy out from their own defenses. But nothing happened, and they charged back into the fray. And the carnage began in earnest. It was an ugly, bloody thing, a demon's affair. The enemy had nowhere to go. Surrender wasn't an option either, nor did they have the time to wait out Alex's forces. This was the end-all, be-all of a last stand. His soldiers pushed, fought, and dug out the defenses as they went, creating holes that quickly filled, only to be ripped open again.
"I don't like this, Master," Nanny said, her voice angry. Looking to her, he found her head swiveling to look in every direction.
"If they had assassins, they would have already used them," Alex said, looking back to the fight. "They did," Valeria immediately replied. "Coffin got 'em all a while ago. She's rather adept. The only problem with her is her inability to stop once the killing starts. No prisoners."
"See? There you go, Five. Keep that pretty head of yours moving. But I'd argue this is relatively safe. Or at least as safe as a battlefield can be," Alex said.
"Damn musclehead," Carla muttered under her breath. Alex grinned. "Those two will never see eye to eye, and yet they're the closest to what they were before being numbered than anyone else." His soldiers were dying, falling in combat. He could see them literally slipping away to the ground, only for more of his soldiers to step into the gap and take up the fight. As far as Alex could tell, he wasn't getting it as good as he was giving it. At least, he thought it was so. To his eyes, and maybe he was just deluding himself, he swore they were killing two or three for every one. But that proposition was still a losing one. Even if he won, he'd somehow have to hire another entire company of soldiers, just to get Ridge up to a decent garrison level. And with Duke Galus and Duchess Tanulf eyeing him, he wouldn't put it past either of them to act on him. Winning with too many losses was a Pyrrhic victory at its finest. He could see Drew's cavalry slip in on a charge and break right back out. They couldn't get as close as Alex wanted them to. There were too many barriers in the way now. So many of their advantages had been limited, simply because he'd let the enemy build up there at the foot of the wall. Clenching his fist, Alex felt powerless. All he could do was watch.
"Stop right there," Carla said loudly.
Alex glanced to the side, just in time to see Nanny drop from her horse. She walked up to a man approaching in peasant garb. Drawing her sword, she leapt forward, smashing the length of it into the man's guts. Carla got down off her horse and pulled her long sword free, pointing it at a second man who was heading their way.
"Stop or die like the first," Carla called out.
The man ignored Carla, seemingly trying to go around her. He suddenly lurched back as a throwing knife blossomed in his throat. Valeria eased her horse closer to Alex's, a blade identical to the one in the man's throat, held between her fingers. Nanny yanked her blade out of the first person and stabbed them again as they lay on the ground groaning. Alex didn't care. His people knew what to do. Turning back to the fight, he watched intently. He could see more of his soldiers streaming in from the village, apparently freed from firefighting to join the battle. His soldiers split into two groups now, one starting to roll out towards the skeleton-crude sections of the wall, the other trying to push further into the mob of enemy soldiers from two sides. "They must have reached the wall," Alex muttered.
"Indeed they did, sire," Dan said, coming up beside him. "And we freed up all the soldiers we can. Everything is moving exactly as you asked it to be."
"And we're losing men by the score," Alex said, shaking his head.
"That we are, sire, but they're paid soldiers for the most.
They know their business, Dan said.
Doesn't make it any better. We need them.
If you think this is the end of it, you haven't thought hard enough about the situation, Alex said. A shout suddenly cut off from his left, and Alex looked over quickly. Carla was standing over the body of the second person, having just decapitated the man.
Who were they? Alex asked.
Don't know, don't care, Nanny said, going through the pockets of the one she hadn't killed. Nothing on 'em. Got some blades you wouldn't think on a peasant.
Good work, two, five. Thank you, Alex said, smiling at the two of them.
The pair of murdering lowlives smiled at him in return. It was clear they still weren't quite sure what to do with positive reinforcement. Turning to three, he nodded his head to her. And a masterfully placed throw. You'll have to show me later where you keep the knives.
Valeria gave him a small smile, the blade that had been in her hand already long since gone.
It'd be my pleasure, she purred at him. Letting his head swing back to the fight, Alex immediately saw something different. The enemy was swarming up the ladders and being kicked back down. There were clearly a few places on the top of the wall that were actually engaged in melee combat. But now what looked like an entire section of the enemy forces had broken away. They were speeding towards his forces to stop the flank attack.
Dan, get in there and send in the reserves to flank those soldiers. We need to keep them pressed on two sides or we'll lose even more, Alex said, pointing to the shifting battle.
Yes, sire, Dan said, snapping his reins and riding back into the village.
And send my couriers this way, Alex called.
Unable to keep himself still in the saddle, he started to pull on the reins this way and that, making his horse walk to and fro, as if it were the one that was nervous.
Damn, I don't have any other choice, Alex said, then pulled his horse sharply to ride after Dan.
And then stopped immediately, as two couriers on horses came barreling his way.
Good, Alex said, pointing at the first to arrive. Get to Drew and tell him to dismount his cavalry and smash that nub of soldiers from the far angle. Make sure he knows to pull back if the rest of their line moves to engage him. Got it?
The messenger nodded and then scrambled off, his horse having only stopped for a few seconds. Pulling his horse back the other way, Alex stood up in his stirrups, straining to see everything he could of the fight. Then he looked up to the wall and felt like his heart was about to leap out of his chest. The enemy had gained a foothold in one section of the wall. They didn't have many troops up there, but it was slowly increasing.
You, get me more couriers, then go tell Max to hit that point in the line with a surgical strike, Alex said, pointing at the ladder that was working the soldiers upward.
The man galloped off without a word, leaving Alex with nothing to do other than fume and fret.
Then he saw it.
Some of the enemy was turning on itself in an effort to push back deeper into the ranks. They were starting to break. It was by no means a victory, and this wasn't going to end anytime soon, but Alex immediately felt like the problem of the siege was slowly easing in his favor. If the enemy didn't want to fight, then they wouldn't. The question now was whether they could put enough hurt on them to quit before they took the wall.
Max popped into view, leading a squad of what looked like heavy troopers. They were singular in their purpose, and dove straight to the ladder where people were scrambling up to the top of the wall.
Then Drew's dismounted soldiers approached, using their lances like spears to prod at the enemy line. Everything was moving in the right direction. He was fairly confident he'd pull a victory out, but it wasn't going to be a good victory. It'd be bloody. Bloody and short-lived when his enemies found out about his losses.
At least it's a victory.
The sound of horse hooves coming from the wrong direction made Alex's blood suddenly run cold. He was filled with absolute, stark, mind-nullifying fear. Turning his head in the direction of the sound, he saw a small army of what looked like 500 troops, in colors he couldn't recognize. They were racing for the point where Drew's people had just engaged. As a unit, they were well-armed, armored,
and looked as if they were spoiling for a fight. Weapons were drawn, and they appeared fresh and clean. "Damn," Alex muttered, watching them closing in. "I don't even know how they slipped through our scouts and screens, but they did it." He'd need to order the retreat immediately. If he could get his people out now, he might be able to regroup and manage something down the road. So long as he managed to preserve some of his troops, he could still act and try to make this work. Shifting his weight around, Alex set his horse back into the village, only to be forced to a stop as a soldier in chainmail pulled up short in front of him. He was dressed in Alex's colors and seemed to be in a hurry. They both also almost unhorsed themselves in the process. The rider clearly didn't have much experience with a horse. He looked far too uncomfortable and seemed more likely to get pitched from the saddle than anything. Now that he looked the man over, he saw the armor didn't quite fit right around the shoulders and middle. The helmet looked positively huge on small shoulders to boot. Tentatively letting go of the reins, the soldier reached up to start pushing at the helmet. "Husband!" shouted the soldier as it popped off, revealing Anna underneath. Her hair was plastered around her head, braided and messed up at the same time. "Hi, dear," she said enthusiastically. She tried to lean forward toward him and almost ended up taking a header into the grass when the horse moved against her wishes. Oh, stop it, horsey. I just want to... Stop, Anna complained, grabbing at the reins as the horse began to walk in a slow circle. This way, this way. Anna? Alex asked, more than a little confused. Hi, dear. Just wait a second, Anna said, pulling in the wrong direction on the reins. The horse apparently understood, though, and ended up turning back to Alex.
Here, grab me, or I'll just keep spinning, I think, Anna said, holding out her arms to him.
Smiling and being forced to her pace as he ever was, Alex reached over to pull her out of her saddle and sit her down in front of himself. There wasn't quite enough room, so she mostly seemed to be sitting in his lap. Smiling up at him, she squirmed around, her hands resting on his shoulders.
Hi, dear. That nice baroness you're sleeping with sent me a letter about what was going on. Then she sent another when that nasty Ridge man showed up. She said she was going to take her house forces and march. I told her no, that I'd get more troops and we could ride together. I like her, by the way. She seems very nice. We've only had a chance or two to really talk. She was very direct. I think we should consider making her a second wife to me, Anna said, stroking his shoulders with her gloved fingers. I did what I said I would do for you. I decided to defend my husband and our lands. I bought a mercenary company with a part of my dowry and came straight here, only stopping to pick up the baroness.
Alex looked up to the battle. The unknown soldiers had crashed headlong into the enemy's line, right next to Drew's people, providing them with much-needed support. Ridge's men looked beyond hard-pressed now. Looking back to Anna, he found her watching him, a determined look on her face.
I know I'm not the smartest, but I'm not a trophy wife, she declared fiercely. I will defend my husband and our titles. Now kiss me. I saved you. Reward me. Lavish me with attention. Lots.
Oh, I'll do that. And I'm going to also put your dowry back to the amount it should be, my silly savior, Alex said, and then kissed her deeply.
Chapter 36. After getting Anna back on her own horse, Alex had watched the battle with much more calm than before. The simple fact that another force was there to add pressure had alleviated much of the burden on his existing troops. As if sensing the end of the fight, the enemy began throwing down their weapons and surrendering, first by ones, then tens, and then everyone who remained. They stood with their arms raised, hands empty of weapons. They were lucky the rear had surrendered as well, or Alex's people would have chopped through them to get to the back.
Is that it? Anna asked, clapping her hands together excitedly.
Yeah, I'd assume so. Now it's a matter of them digging Ridge out of that mass of people, if he's alive, and bringing him over, Alex said. We should retire to my command post, dress, and bring Ridge's nephew.
Oh, all right. I'd like that. This armor squishes my boobs and it hurts. I think the padding underneath is rubbing my skin raw, too, Anna said, patting her chest.
I would imagine so, Mistress Anna, Carla said. Your size isn't normal for a soldier.
It hurts my nipples, Anna said, pawing at her own chest. Is that why you wear leather, Three?
Not quite, Mistress Anna, Valeria said. She'd put herself behind and between Alex and Anna. I think in your case, no matter what armor you wear, it won't fit.
Pooh, Anna said, pulling at the chainmail.
Mistress Anna, Nanny said, easing closer to the smaller woman.
Yes,
she said brightly, looking up with a smile. Nanny whispered something into Anna's ear, then pulled back.
Oh, that's a great idea. I like it. I'm sure he will, too. When we get back home, you can help me with it, Anna said, reaching over and patting Nanny on the wrist gently.
Mistress Anna, I'm not exactly someone you should be in town with, Nanny said uneasily.
Why? If it's because Alex is sleeping with you, that's fine, Anna said, making a shooing motion.
No. I'm a convicted murderer, and I had a bounty on my head that Master paid off. It wouldn't do for you to—
Oh, that's interesting. You'll have to tell me about it when we're in town. Did you kill anyone I might have heard of? Maybe I can take you with me to the prison and we can find more women for Alex, Anna said, clapping her hands together. That is, Miss, we should probably get you on a healthy regimen of Mother's Bane, too. Some new undergarments as well. Alex always seems to fill me up to the point that it just drips constantly for days. I had to buy a number of extras. Just ask Two. It's frustrating, Anna said.
Then she turned to peer at Three. Before Anna could ask, Valeria gave Anna a small nod.
You too, then, Three. You'll need to come with us. Oh, what about One? Anna asked.
Her too, Nanny murmured.
Anna smiled brightly. Good, good. That makes it much easier. We'll all have a nice day out. We'll have lunch together, shop a little, and buy some nice things. I do need a new brush or two as well, Anna said, then pressed a finger to her chin. But if I take both of you, Hubby will need a new bodyguard. We'll need to do that, too. A third bodyguard. Someone pretty, though. Good, good. I'm excited already. I really do need to buy more furniture as well. Silverware. Diningware. You all will be eating dinner with us, so it only makes sense.
Alex smiled and left his numbers to Anna, turning his horse toward his command pavilion. Once Anna got going about what she needed to buy, it rarely ended quickly. Getting a few feet away, he looked to the side to discover Valeria had somehow slipped away.
Goodness, Mistress Anna runs people over, Valeria said, her eyes a bit wide.
Yes, yes she does, and I love her for it, Alex said.
She's a good mistress, Valeria said with a smile.
Alex sat quietly, waiting. Anna had joined him, sitting next to him. His numbers were spread out behind them, protective and anxious. Several guards trooped in with three people held out in front of them. Recognizing all three, Alex smiled at them. He waited for the guards to leave before he continued. Michael Ridge, Michael the Second, and Amy, Alex said, addressing each one in turn. So good to see you. Carla came around Alex with her mace in hand. Walking behind the prisoners, she forced them to their knees, one by one.
Fuck yourself and die, Michael Sr. said.
Anna turned to Alex and frowned.
I don't like him.
And this must be the simpering idiot you married. I must say she has impressive tits and a great face, but not much else, Michael Sr. said.
Acting immediately and without orders, Carla brought her mace down on Michael Sr.'s right forearm. With a gut-wrenching crack, his arm snapped in two and then flopped around. Michael started shrieking at the top of his lungs, his left hand trying to stabilize his right arm. Anna smiled at Carla.
Thank you, dear, Anna said sincerely, undisturbed by Michael's wails.
Of course, Mistress Anna, Carla said, unable to keep herself from smiling back at her. Alex looked to the younger Michael. From what he'd heard, this was actually Michael's son, but had been born on the wrong side of the sheets. He'd been forced on a younger sibling who died unexpectedly, and then raised by Michael.
While your uncle is recovering, I was wondering if you had anything to say for yourself, Alex asked.
Carla's mace gently tapped the young man on the side of the head.
You're a sick, evil man, said the younger Michael. You've ruined our lands.
I suppose.
Though I can't exactly argue the point, either. Is that all?
Nothing more was said, and Alex finally turned to Amy.
Are you willing to follow your terms of the bargain, or would you prefer to suffer with your family? Alex asked her. Amy looked embarrassed and humiliated. Her eyes turned down and to the side, as both her relatives' heads whipped in her direction.
I'll serve exactly as I swore, Amy said.
Wonderful. You may leave for now, then. We'll speak after this and establish your duties as the Baroness of Northern Ridge, Alex said, dismissing her. Amy got to her feet and looked to Alex.
Thank you, my liege, Amy said, bowing low to him.
Then she turned and passed by Carla, leaving.
She's smart, but I don't think I want her in the family, Anna said after she left. I deny her any right to your bed in advance.
Noted, Alex said, giving her a quick smile and tried to keep everything on track. Anna would take over his attention if he wasn't careful. Now, the two of you. Should I assume you'll be unwilling to work with me at all?
Do you even need to ask, you bastard? Michael Sr. asked.
Carla immediately slammed her mace into the upper part of his broken arm. The disgusting crunch of bones was audible again.
Learn your place, Carla hissed. Do not insult the master or mistress. You can't do this. I'm a member of the peerage. I invoke my right to be tried by the king, Michael Sr. squealed.
As you like. That's what we'll do. I'll honor that in deference to the king, Alex said amiably. Let's have these two transferred to the prison we cleaned out. Turning to Anna, he smiled at her and reached out to touch her hand.
Would you remain here, my love? I need to take care of this. I'll leave 5 with you and take 2 and 3 with me.
Of course, husband, Anna said, leaning over the side of her chair and kissing him soundly. Hurry back, though. I want to talk about my mercenary company. I thought of a great name for them.
Alex chuckled and nodded his head.
It didn't take too long for Carla, Valeria, and himself to make it to the dungeon. Escorting the two nobles into the furthest cell at the back of the prison, Alex stood next to the open gate. Looking around as if he were inspecting it for the first time, Alex stopped when his eyes fell on a water barrel nearby. A length of rope hung out from the side of it, more than enough to hang oneself with. He'd even gone to the trouble of making sure it had been tied in a hangman's noose, all for the sake of what he hoped would happen here.
Goodness, remind me to take this rope with us when we leave. It'd be rather unfortunate to leave it here, Alex said, reaching out to touch the rope. So careless of me to have put it here like that.
Looking to the two men, Alex decided to try one more time. And you're sure the two of you are unwilling to work with me? There's no possibility of us coming to some sort of terms? Alex asked.
Die, Michael Sr. said.
Michael the younger nodded his head enthusiastically. Sighing, Alex turned around and faced Carla and Valeria.
Goodness, too, you look rather stiff.
How about you turn around and let me rub your back for a moment? Alex said, pointing towards the far wall. Carla looked confused. Her face screwed up in a frown. All right.